We'll be in Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35. And as disconcerting or as troublesome or as fearful, whatever the Wednesday's message was, I didn't make very many comments on it, I just read it. Deuteronomy 35, verses 15 through 18. As hard as that was to look at that, I hope this will be as cheerful. This will be the opposite of that. This will be cheerful. We'll find comforting and encouragement in it. The title is A Fearful Heart, Fear Not. A Fearful Heart, Fear Not. Let's look at Isaiah 35 and verses 3, 4, starting in verse 3, and then we'll go a few other verses down, but we're going to look mainly at verses 3 and 4, and verse 4. The prophet says to the folks, to his people, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them, that'd be to you and I, that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. It's easy to say. It's just like, oh, God's sovereign. And sometimes I've gotten aggravated when somebody reminds me that God is sovereign, because I don't want to hear that. I want somebody to sympathize with me. And sometimes, and though this statement is true, here we go. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. And here's why. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Now, over several, so obviously hundreds of years, writers and commentators, they say that this section is basically speaking about when the Lord comes again the second time and wraps everything up. But also other commentators say he's speaking about both times of visitation. Once when he visits you or me in salvation, or our children perhaps, he will come. He will come. That's a promise. Visit in salvation, and also we know he's coming again. We know he's coming. We don't know when, but we know he's coming again. So either way you look at this promise or this way of encouragement, God gets the glory. Either he's coming again like he said he would, to wrap everything up, or as he came to us in new life, he did come with vengeance. He smote, he took that strong man and he cast him out, Satan. He cast him out. In the New Testament, he says that. So he came with a vengeance. And he conquered our foes. He conquered our enemies. And he did recompense. He will come and save you. So whether he's speaking about end times, or whether he's speaking about us in our day of salvation, visitation, or whether he's talking about those who are here who don't know him and will do something, God gets the glory. Either way. Well, let's look at just two. There's just two points. You got a charge or an exhortation, and then you have the promise. And we'll get to the promise in a minute. I always like to jump ahead because I love promises. But there's some things in there that I talk about promises. I recommend Spurgeon's book, According to Promise, all these different things. But the Lord revealed to me the second level or the foundation of the promise. And I think it totally blessed me beyond compare. So let's look at the exhortation or the charge. Okay, in verse 3, strengthen ye the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart. This is us. This is us who are weak, weak-handed or feeble, feeble-kneed, and are fearful. This is speaking to all of us. This describes us in general, but by the Holy Spirit conviction, it's describing us individually, the elect of God. The elect of God. He says, fear not. Say to them that have a fearful heart, be strong and fear not. This is the exhortation. He says, fear not, but we answer, Lord, I do fear. I do fear. Now, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but we know whose hands tomorrow is in. But we know that. We know God is on throne. We know He says, be strong, but He's talking to those who have a fearful heart. We answer, I do fear. I fear. Three things mainly, but this goes in many directions. I fear myself. I fear myself. Relying upon the flesh too often. Ought to be able to spot the flesh. Ought to be able to say, no, that's because in the flesh profits nothing. Even believers in the flesh, there's no profit. What's he mean? There's no profit. Lot was a righteous man, but how he struggled. He listened. He looked. He listened to what was said. He looked in his eyes. This is, you know, he first moved when he and his and Abraham, they split. Well, he chose the most fertile. He saw, this is where I'm going because this will suit my needs the best. And then next thing you know, he's not in Sodom and Gomorrah yet. And then the scriptures, but then now he moved. Now he's in. Now he's in amongst the wicked, and his righteous soul was vexed every day. Every day. So I fear my flesh. I fear my flesh. My flesh is proud. My flesh is self-serving. It's self-seeking. It's what I can get, what's best for me. I fear that because it dishonors our Lord. It dishonors our Lord. How are we? Christ said, I am among you as one that serves. That's what we're to do. We're to serve one another. But it's so hard. We want to take care of ourselves. I fear that. Well, I fear this wicked world. The longer I'm here, the more it vexes me. It vexes me. Either whether it's, you know, we don't have the television on much at all, but whether it's the television, the commercials, everything is okay. It's just, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Homosexuality, all this other lesbian stuff. It's, you know, in the commercials. It's in the commercials. It's okay. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. I fear. I made this comment one time in this high schooler. I was doing rehab. And me and this old guy were doing rehab, you know, who should have been in there. And this young athlete, you know, had knee problems, typical. And we were talking. He wasn't even involved in the conversation. We were talking over here, and we both said, well, I fear for this generation. And boy, he came back at me. My generation, your generation, blah, blah. He just laid me out. And I just thought to myself, you cocky little rascal. Yes. Yes. I fear this world. I fear for our children, and now I feel for my grandchild. You know, what's he going to see? What's going to be acceptable? You know, with our daughter, we had to, you know, when they were teaching evolution stuff, she'd come back and say this and that. We'd say, well, this is not correct. This is what you're going to have, but it's not correct. And I used to think homeschooling was horrible. Well, now, you know, if you can do it, it's not so bad. It's not so bad. But I fear this wicked world. It hated our Lord, and it will surely hate me and hate you. I'm fearful of this world's looks. I'm fearful that I'll be too attracted to their looks to be liked. You know, nobody likes to be disliked. I'm fearful of their frowns. You know, you think you're doing a good job, and then somebody comes up to you, and now you're doing it. You know, that's fearful. I'm fearful of the friendship of this world because I know what that can do, and I know what he says about it in the Word. Yes, we have friends. I'm not denying that. We have to rub shoulders with the world. We work. We go to. We get groceries. We pay tax. We do these things. We're in the world. But how far? I fear it. He says, don't fear. I'm over it. But I do. I fear Satan. That crafty serpent. He can easily outmaneuver me. And this greatly concerns my heart. When I think I'm spiritual, he'll let me just continue to think I'm spiritual. And then in the small little, you know, I'm looking out for this big stuff. I'm looking out for world economies and this and that. And then something happens in my front yard just because it aggravates. You know, the lawnmower won't start or something. Just something little. Then my heart's greatly concerned about that. Still, the exhortation in our text is, say to them that are of fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Fear not. We sing this hymn. How firm a foundation. Fear not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my gracious, omnipotent hand. And that's what he says in the hymnal, and that's based out of the Word. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong and fear not. And in His Word, He gives us numerous examples. He gives us numerous examples of how His watch care and active care over us, does He not? In illustrations, like for example, calls Himself the true and the great shepherd over His sheep. Turn to Isaiah 40. A couple pages over. Isaiah 40. And verse 11, Isaiah 40 and verse 11, as our Father is the shepherd, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arms and carry them in His bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. That's His promise. That's a promise. So He gives us an illustration of the great shepherd. He gives us another illustration of the beloved husband wooing and courting his bride. Read Song of Solomon. Just read Song of Solomon and you see him as our husband courting us and gathering us and bringing us unto himself. We saw a couple weeks ago in Deuteronomy 32, he gives an illustration about an eagle's care over her young ones. How he carries them and how he hovers over them. And that's an illustration that we can relate to. Fourthly, he is the king reigning for good over his subjects. You see that in the typical of Solomon, of David, and Hezekiah, and other illustrations in the book. These are examples that he gives how these people cared for their subjects. And our King of Kings is much more has much more power and authority than these kings in the Bible. And lastly, not least, or if not last, and my last in my notes. He's an ever faithful and dependable father over his little children. Turn to Deuteronomy 23. Numbers 23. Numbers 23. As a father, it's an illustration of a father and his tender care over his children. Numbers 23 and verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. He has said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? This is our Heavenly Father. If he gives you a word of promise, he, 100% guarantee, will make it good. Will make it good. And look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. He is faithful that promised. Your faithfulness and my faithfulness, it's subject to a lot of things. Weather, resources, financial ability, strength, memory loss. But Him, He is faithful that promised. Which leads me to my next point. Let's look at the promise. He's faithful that promised. Okay, let's look at this a little closer. Say to them, Isaiah, speak to your people. Pastors, speak to those whom the Lord has given you care as an under shepherd. Say to them that are a fearful heart. Say to yourself, because you're a fearful heart. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, be strong, fear not. Why? Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Now this is what blessed me, and I don't know why I didn't ever, I don't know if I said it or not. I just didn't realize it as clearly. When you look at a promise, think about the everlasting covenant. Okay, that was made without you and I. We were not there. So anytime you read a promise and you say, Lord, you've given me this promise, look at it at a deeper level. Go to the foundation. The root of the matter is it is based upon the everlasting covenant. Okay, when the new bridge was going up, we used to go down to the riverfront and then watch them. And they basically stopped the water where each of those piers, they went down and went down to bedrock. They went down to bedrock, they pumped out the water, and then poured those piers. Now they took all that stuff off of it, and you can't see. You can't see what's under the water. But we have privilege of God's people to look beneath the surface, and it all comes down to His covenant between He and His Father and the Spirit for His people. Okay? The promise or the covenant. Behold. That's the first thing I want to look at. Behold. Stop. Let me have your attention. Clap your hands. You know, sometimes I had some school teachers that would do that, and the kids would all do that. I had one teacher throw chalk at me, and it whizzed by my head, and boy, I turned. She got my attention. This is what we're saying. Behold, it's like the town crier. Just walking up there, getting people's attention. That's what we're trying to do. Your God. Whoa. Your God. Your God. Is He your God? Is He my God? Can I ask myself that? Is He my God? Behold, your God. Your God. Oh, if He has revealed Himself to you and to me in the gospel of redeeming love, the blessed Son over all and all and in all, how God can be both just and justify of him that believes. Has He revealed to you through the gospel of how God saves sinners? Your sin, my sin, the very dark and ever scarlet red with the guilt of 1,000 misdeeds. We were born in sin, so that we got strike one. And then as we live our life, has He revealed to you, God demands perfection, and we don't have it. 1,000 misdeeds. Yes, and though they be red, He says they will be white as snow. Isaiah 1. Behold, your God. Now He's a God of creation, but we must know Him as the God, our Redeemer, our Savior. Your God. What droppings, this word, behold your God. What droppings of pure sovereign grace to the likes of us who absolutely do not deserve such consideration. And also this promise that He will come. He will come with vengeance. He will come and save you. This promise, whether I said it's either in the last days or it's in our time of salvation, this is totally based upon His everlasting covenant, these promises. So if the Lord gives you a promise, they're wide open. You need help at work? It's the Lord that gives promotion. I mean, there's anything you could say. I remember Tommy Robbins and I used to talk about anything that happens in our life, it can be found in the Bible for helps and encouragement. Whatever. I mean, we think things are too small. Well, I'm having a rough time at work, or I'm you know, whatever it might be. There's a place in here that says something specifically for you. And this everlasting covenant is not based upon or merited by us, either positively or negatively. In other words, if you doubt whether God is your God, that doesn't affect the outcome. That does not affect the outcome of redemption. If He's your God, He will come. You will know it. He will reveal Himself to you. Whether you do not feel saved this morning or think you've lived up to His mercy, or you have many doubts or misgivings regarding this covenant, it is this covenant, this promise, is not based on us. It's not based on us. It's not based upon us. It's not founded upon us, our emotional status, or any other thing regarding self. No, God said it, the Son ratified it, and the Spirit applies it. That's why we sing that song, Hallelujah, what a Savior. Be strong, fear not. That's the exhortation, because we fear. But He backs it up with the promise. He backs it up with the promise. And we may not see, like the illustration of the bridge and the water. We may not fully understand, as Bruce said this morning. We look through a glass darkly. But don't doubt His word. And even if we do doubt, the word of God is sure. It's sure. Brethren, may we quit looking to self for assurance, but look to Him and Him only. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And verse 16. I'm going to start right in the middle, but I'll explain. Romans 4, verse 16. Therefore, it, what's that? That's salvation or righteousness. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. That's what this promise, because it's based on a covenant. And we weren't there. It was before the foundation of the world. To the end that this promise, this covenant, might be sure to all the seed. Every one of God's elect, they're gonna in time, they're gonna hear it, and they're gonna come unto Him. Now turn with me to Isaiah 62. This is, you know, kind of buckle up, buckle your seatbelts. Here we go. This again gets better. Isaiah 62 verses 1-4. Based upon this steadfast and sure promise, which is what we're looking at in Isaiah 35, which is based upon this covenant, this is what we're called. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake will I not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. This is the new name we have. There's two new names. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt know